All right. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to episode one of Capes and Commentaries. I'm Tyler Baker. With me is Nathan Kennedy and Joe Amato, the Beyond Retro crew, the fans of Power crew. We're here to kick off a new podcast series dedicated to superhero cartoons and even possibly superhero films, but mostly cartoons. And we're all big cartoon fans here of superheroes. From Batman, Spider-Man, X-Men, Turtles, Superman, Justice League, you name it, we'll probably be tackling it at some point multiple times. So today we're going to be conquering Heart of Ice, Mr. Freeze's first appearance from the Batman animated series, and the version that has kind of redefined the character well over 20 years now. So if you'll just pop in your DVD, your YouTube link, or whatever link you might watching it on, I'll count down from three, and we'll all play together and watch this amazing first episode of Mr. Freeze's run.
Before we get started on that, I wanted to, because Joe didn't join us with Batman when we did that episode. Joe, you were telling us before we got started that you haven't watched any of this since you were a kid.
Exactly. And I mean, I loved it when it was on TV back in the day, but I have not watched it since then. So this is going to be my first time watching it. Well, since I was a kid. So it's like, I'll be watching it with a slightly set of, you know, fresh eyes. So that's why I thought the experience would be unique. I know you and Tyler definitely, you know, you have this probably ingrained in your brain a lot better than I do. So it's going to be fun to re-experience this, because I know this is the one where, was it Mr. Freeze? Well, do we talk about what's happening before it, or I didn't want to spoil anything in case somebody didn't see this, or should we just watch it? I didn't want to say anything, give something away.
Yeah, we'll probably just watch it and just kind of you just go along. You're like, we'll answer whatever questions Joe has as we're watching. Because the focus of this podcast is strictly commentary. It's like, well, if we would do discussions, we'll do it on Beyond Retro and things like that. But the purpose of this, ladies and gentlemen, is just to have fun with the three of us watching cartoons together and just enjoying what went right, what didn't, and what makes it so impactful and worth talking about all these years later.
I'm sure some of our viewers are probably going to honestly be surprised, because these things are going to run roughly half hour, 40 minutes tops.
Well, we're introduced. I think this will just hit 3, 2, 1 play and just kind of go from there. This is the first episode. But if you guys are ready, I'll count us down. 3, 2, 1 play. There's the Warner Brothers logo, just to let everyone know.
It's interesting because I'm watching it on Amazon Prime. So instead of getting the classic intro, I'm actually getting the one that they did once Superman came out. Oh, so okay. I'm getting like that alternate intro.
There was an alternate one. I mean, the one I'm seeing is just the one I thought I always remembered. I'm seeing, you know, the Batmobile now, the cars chasing the guys.
Watching the classic one, which is what I'm watching.
Yeah, at some point they changed it. Like once Superman came out, and then the new adventures of Batman and Robin, once they sort of shifted that over. So it's basically kind of just like a collage that I'm getting. But I can picture the classic intro in my head right now.
I loved it. I mean, like I said, I just remember this as a kid. I remember, like, this was a cartoon that kids and adults could watch. That's what's so great. So I'm looking forward to this. It's been so long.
Now I know that we have our sound down so we don't piss off Warner Brothers in DC. But, Joe, can you hear any of it? Or because I just feel like it's important that you hear Mr. Freeze when he talks.
I do, as long as you guys hopefully can't hear it. I do have this in my ear.
Okay, that's all I was concerned about, because it's important to hear. Since Joe's doing this, which is an interesting, I thought it was like, Joe, what are you doing here? Not watching it before. But actually, this is pretty good. I like this, that Joe is a virgin, so to speak. With it, so.
And
you pitied him. Yeah, you pitied poor Mr. Freeze here.
Written by Paul Dini and directed by Bruce Timm, so you know right from the get-go you're in for a really good episode.
Yeah, because Paul did, well, both those two were really associated with a lot of the drastic improvements to the Batman mythology, with this one in particular, Mr. Freeze's backstory, which has been forever linked to him since the character was so kind of considered like a C-list villain for Batman. I remember from the 60s show and thought he was pretty cool, but this was so much better. I mean, obviously from comic books and other incarnations, this is the backstory. It's You know, and it works because he's still a villain. Like, he's not trying to be good. He's just really pissed off of what's taken away. But I almost feel like doing the sympathetic villain idea, it works at times as long as it's not overused and you still make the character as cold-hearted as Mr. Freeze.
No point. Ha, ha, see what you did there.
Yeah.
Did you feel like it worked for here?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, because I liked this as a kid. I didn't really get the emotional stuff kind of hit me as I got older when I would go back and rewatch this series. But as a kid, I just like, hey, it's Mr. Freeze. And, you know, he looks cool and sounds cool. And it's a different kind of backstory because didn't have anything like that before.
Mm-hmm.
I think my only concern at the moment is, since I had a different intro, if I am behind or ahead of you guys with the episode.
I just seen the car going through, or just the guys are ducking right now. There was just a crash. Is that what you said?
Oh, yeah. All right. So it synced up.
Yeah. Yeah, with Mr. Freeze's Freeze-mobile here, so to speak. Kind of reminiscent of the one that Arnold used in Batman and Robin.
Less said about that, the better.
I know.
To kind of keep this, too, like the that Mr. Freeze Sub-Zero movie that they came out with kind of got pushed back because Batman and Robin didn't do so well, and they didn't want to have this, like, while it was still fresh in people's minds.
Well, I remember seeing it kind of coming out to kind of coincide with Batman and Robin, which, you know, made sense. You're going to capitalize on the movie. You're going to have really something else too. But it's not sad, but you kind of expected the movie to be great and the cartoon did not, because the cartoon went straight to video. And well, a lot of times it's never a good sign, but son of a bitch, man, Sub-Zero was a damn good movie.
Yeah, I just got that on Blu-ray in the mail. And the cool thing about that Blu-ray is it's got all these Mr. Freeze episodes from the animated series.
Yeah, and most of Mr. Freeze's appearances, they're pretty much all solid episodes. Like, he doesn't suffer from a lame-ass story and a bad writer, like, for the most part, because he's after the same thing in every episode. I mean, ways to, you know, keep his wife alive, at least until later on when it's a little bit different. But
I always thought his gun made a really cool, like, the effect that they used was like a really cool sound.
And his the using the voice, like he's speaking out of his helmet too. And I forget the actor's name that's playing it. I'd known it before, but it escapes me at the moment here. So I apologize, fans, for that one. But I just love the effect of him talking through the helmet. It sounds more menacing. And not having any, you know, like his goggles, like it just kind of adds like this constant look of lack of emotion. You know, it helps add to what the character is that, you know, yes, cold hearted and this and that. But it, I mean, from a visual standpoint, he comes off as somebody who doesn't feel pain, who doesn't feel sympathy until he takes the goggles off, as you will later on. But Joe, what are you thinking as you're watching this for the first time in over 20 some years?
Oh, it's taking me back. I just enjoyed it. I mean, I loved hearing his voice. I forgot some of the one-liners where Batman just said Freeze, and he said, "That's Mr. Freeze." But I love his damn voice. And you're right to hear the sounds of the gun, everything. This was one great-ass cartoon. I miss it so much, but I'm enjoying it. It's been a long time, so I'm kind of enjoying listening and watching and listening to you both, because you know it a lot better than I do.
So that gets me giddy, knowing that Joe is that excited as he's watching. It's like when Joe kind of giggles when he laughs, Joe's got some hard nipples going, and that's all a good sign. So
they actually are. That's funny.
I'm like Bob Costas over here.
I really liked this part right here where, like, he accidentally freezes his own guy's legs, and, you know, they're like, hey, let's take him with us. And he's like, no, you got to leave him. And they're like, but he's with us. Oh, well, do you want to share his fate too? And it's like, no. And they just leave him there.
And I enjoy, like, how dangerous his weapon is. That the fact that Batman had to take him and put him in kind of what looks like a Bacta tank from Star Wars to kind of, you know, the guy could probably possibly lose his legs from severe hypothermia, you know.
And the frostbite.
Yeah, the frostbite. And everything.
I mean, hypothermia could set in because of that.
Yeah. Escalating in the Batcave, not far-fetched at all. And I like the touch too, that the hoodlum in the tank has got a blindfold on his face too.
Yeah, so he doesn't know about the Batcave or where, how he got there or something, or what?
Attention to detail that Batman would not just let anybody, let alone a criminal, know what the Bat looks like or where he's at.
Exactly. That's all information can be taken back to, you know, the main village. Yeah, you're right. You're right. That is a nice little touch.
No, and here's a funny thing. It's like, oh, Batman caught a cold.
Yeah, which it is his cartoon, but it doesn't, like, and we see Batman sneeze, as you see here, Joe, and it doesn't come off as like, oh, this is just being goofy. Like, you know, I'm sure.
No, you're right. And that's the thing about the cartoon that I was saying, like, earlier when it first started, is it's never felt like a kid's cartoon. I remember when it first debuted, this cartoon used to be on, like, I think at, you know, like, prime time slot, like 8 o'clock or something. So, I mean, adults were watching. It felt like, you know, an adult show along with kids enjoying it. So, yeah, I didn't think that came across as being silly at all.
I remember my dad would always tell me that he always enjoyed, which was a proud thing. If any of my parents told me they enjoyed watching any stuff that me and my brother loved watching, this was one of them. It would just make me feel like, okay, you know, they really did something right. If my dad enjoyed watching the show because of the content, and that it didn't feel like a children's cartoon.
Yeah, it was my aunt out of all people. She's the one that called me when the show first, you know, when they had the first episode of Batman on TV. And she's somebody that always liked watching murder mystery shows, you know, those kind of like CSIs, whatever those, that's all she watched. She watched this. And when she called me saying she enjoyed it, I was like, wow, they must be doing something right. You got people, you know, of any age enjoying your cartoon.
This is Mark Hamill playing the voice of this company executive here.
Ferris Boyle, I think is his name.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a dick.
I didn't know that was Mark Hamill. Well, of course, like I said, I haven't seen it in years, but it's kind of cool to know all the people that are, you know, in here. Yeah,
they would use a lot of regular voice actors on occasion. Like, I know he shows up as he was in our Zero episode for trial as a waiter, Mark Hamill was, along with playing the Joker. So it's pretty cool to see them use the voice talent they've got just to, hey, fill in and play this pilot or this cabbie or something like that. But
like how Bruce is just like, yeah, you're a dick.
Yeah.
Through that entire conversation.
He plays
that's on DVD? I didn't know. Is this all available on DVD?
Yeah, okay. Every episode, yeah. And then right. Nathan told me, I think, last week that it's going to be coming to Blu-ray this summer, I think.
I wonder if I'll have bonuses or anything.
I don't know. Hopefully.
They've got a couple of, they've got a few commentary sessions, and I love this classic throne. It almost feels like that's what you want to see from your supervillains, is to have a throne or a headquarters that resembles their personality, regardless of it may sound silly, but you'd see it in the comic books. The 60s series would have it. Joel Schumacher did it. But still, it looks cool with Mr. Freeze and the snow here and just all these different shots of him just being such a defiant badass. Batman's got a box of tissues next to him there. Yeah, it's such a simple backstory they did for Mr. Freeze, but it's so cool that this one cartoon just revolutionized.
I love that he's like knockout gas. It's like, no, chicken soup.
Chicken soup, yeah.
I mean, it kind of opened the door to, like, because, you know, this came out after Burton's Batman film started to really take off.
Yeah, because it came out after Batman Returns hit theaters. This came out in the fall of 92, I think. Batman Returns came out in the summer of 92, which is why the Penguin looks like Danny DeVito and Catwoman looks like Michelle Pfeiffer's Catwoman. Yeah, so and this kind of redefined a whole lot of stuff. I mean, character-wise, you know, and I mean, how they're treated. And you kind of felt like, well, but the cartoon took the villain serious. Why did the movies have to make them jokes? Like, it felt like they, you know, I blame a lot of Warner Brothers, not just the directors like Schumacher, but if these guys could get it and it was so successful, why couldn't you guys nail this formula?
And why not have those guys be at the helm to make the next movies, you know?
Yeah, you often wonder. I mean, they did Mask of the Phantasm, Sub-Zero. They did Batman Return of the Joker. you know, worked on Batman Beyond, stuff like that. These guys know these characters. They know how to treat them and not make them jokes. Or like, you know, I'm sorry, hey,
Did that happen much, Tyler Nathan, in the cartoon where Batman would disguise himself as, like, you know, somebody else, like that blonde haired security guard? Was that stuff that was shown a lot?
On occasion, like I remember in the first episode that Batgirl shows up, he shows up as a hoodlum named Matches Malone trying to infiltrate Two-Face's gang to get some info, and kind of puts on like a small mustache and a matchstick in his mouth and stuff like that. So on occasion, yeah, okay, he would do stuff like that.
And now Batman's about to discover the truth behind this disgruntled employee and the explosion.
Get too much dead here. It's kind of it's a part of the fun.
Well, you get sucked in the episode.
I was engrossed. That's so sad. I mean, but yeah, it's definitely fine.
Good too that, you know, they didn't go this route with all the villains. Like, do this with one villain, because then you're over. And this is what I always preach all the time too. They do this way too much with villains in movies nowadays.
Yeah, you don't want sympathy for all of them. You're right. Some works. It's like somebody like the Joker. I really don't care. I don't want to have anything to be feeling sorry for him. You know.
No, and that's why I still prefer Burton's take on the Joker, because he was a nasty guy to begin with, and not so much like in The Killing Joke, where he's a failed comedian who's given a raw deal, and his wife and unborn child die, and he ends up becoming the Joker due to a freak accident helping out the Red Hood mob, or dressed as the Red Hood. Even though it's a masterful comic, this is cool. Mr. Freeze is so cool, man, that he sneaks up on Batman. That's how much of a badass Mr. Freeze is. And the snow here going up. That which is cool. That's a nice little thing. Why is the snow going up? Because Batman's looking at it upside down. And making a point to take the utility belt too. Like just how smart he is that he knows about Batman and the utility belt. All the air or the smoke or the the fog coming out of the mouth. I was gonna say smoke.
You can see his breath or whatever. Yeah, you can.
Breath. God, I don't know why I was drawing a blank there for something so simple. A lot of good animation here. You know, this is like they don't do a whole lot like reuse of stock stuff in this cartoon. Not that all cartoons did that, but you know.
And at least they explained why he's wearing, you know, why Mr. Freeze wears that suit also, compared to, you know, not just to, you know, look, you know, like, hey, this is my outfit, I'm looking cool. There's a reason behind why he has to wear that suit. So that was kind of cool too.
Yeah. And his motivation too, like, even though it's for a good cause, to show that this guy doesn't back down from anything and follows through. And if he has to kill, he, you know, because he acknowledged, I would kill to be able to, you know, to feel the sun on my face again and the touch of someone you love.
By chance, was that also, I mean, is that his actual story from the comics itself about, you know, his wife?
This was done strictly for the cartoon, and it was such a hit that DC has now made it canon, along with any other incarnations of Mr. Freeze. They always tend to fall back on this storyline because of this. Paul Dini wrote this. And that's why Arnold's portrayal of Mr. Freeze does, you know, his backstory is this, all the comic books, he's fighting for ways to cure his wife and things like that. So this,
you know, every time you say that Paul Dini, it sounds so familiar. Did he work on Masters of the Universe? Yeah, or am I just...
He did Teela's Secret. He did a History of Manny Faces, to name a few episodes. I mean, your favorite episode, to save Skeletor.
Okay, I thought the name sounded familiar, so okay.
Yeah, cool. He's proud of this show. He kind of denounces working on He-Man. Prick.
Does he?
He doesn't speak highly about it. I mean, he talks about it, but he doesn't seem to be too receptive about what he did for the show. I don't get it. But, you know, obviously he's such a Batman fan. He's, you know, has every right to be proud of his work on this show. He gave us Harley Quinn, redefined Mr. Freeze, wrote a lot of great episodes. I think he wrote Harley Quinnade. That's another classic episode. I mean, his hands were on a lot of stuff with this show, so it's something to be very proud of. And, you know, if we don't get what we want in the Batman movies, we've always got this series to fall back on, because it ran for quite a while. It gave us great interpretations of all the villains, even villains I was not too fond of as a kid. Like, I didn't really, you know, I was trying to think, like...
Well, this is something definitely, when it comes on Blu-ray, I mean, I definitely want to own the series because I need to see them all again.
Yeah, because there's episodes, like, I would love to know what Joe thinks of the Two-Face episode, that the two-parter of that, Be a Clown. I was trying to think of some other great ones. If You're So Smart, Why Aren't You Rich? The Riddler's first appearance. I mean, God, there's...
For some reason, I don't know him bit by bit, but I always remember, you know, Clayface. I remember, you know, when he was in, you know, with his episode. I, for some reason, remember one where Batman was in a maze or something.
Yeah. Riddler's first episode, If You're So Smart, Why Aren't You Rich? Which is a classic.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Batman got his belt back.
There you go.
Got to get the belt back.
Knows that dude's behind him. I like this part right here,
this
too.
This was cool. This was such a, that's what you want to see. It almost felt like that was a nod to the '89 film when Batman punches the hell out of the Joker's thug from this shot here. That's awesome. Running the fire water up and freezing it. That's
badass. That's cool.
Now he finally gets to confront the man. A little good back and forth that they have here.
The slow approach. Like he's savoring being able to confront him after all this time. I like that kind of effect on his helmet, you know, the kind of like glimmer effect on both sides. There's Summer Glee, she's pretty hot.
Getting his revenge. Finish him.
And this is one thing, like when they redesigned the characters when they launched Superman, they changed Mr. Freeze drastically. And this is one where, like, this one was so much better than the redesign they did.
Yeah, I would agree with that because I actually watched that episode with the redesign. I'm like, yeah, it's still okay, but it's not.
When did the redesign, when did that happen? Anyways, how long into the series did that happen?
I think the fourth season of the animated series, they redesigned all the heroes and villains to match the same look of the Superman series. That way they could cross everybody over.
No, how long did that last with the new redesign before it was done?
I think one season, and then Superman lasted a few seasons, and then Batman Beyond started. Because they planned the Batman animated series, and here comes the chicken soup.
Yep.
Mm.
Nails him with the chicken soup.
Cracked the cold glass. Which you could be mocked at, but you know what? You have to remember at the end of the day, this was meant for kids. It can't be 120%, you know, super serious. So
the only way to fight a cold, chicken soup.
A nice little gag.
It works out. It works.
Out of the moment. That's what bothers me if stuff take you out of the moment. But this doesn't. Plus, the way Mr. Freeze is selling his unfortunate situation here is his poor health.
Yeah. And then Batman's like, oh, here's the tape. Here's all the... Yeah, and then you guys will see that there where he's like, yeah, good night, humanitarian. Yeah. All sarcastically.
Like, Batman just loves to come out and rub it in. And this is one of the coolest. We'll see what you think here, Joe. Just.
This looks so sad.
Yeah, this is where you the cold shell's been shattered a bit here.
I'm surprised they didn't have his tears freeze up when he cried there.
Wait for it.
Oh!
I mean, that's, yeah, God, you feel bad for him, but he's still not somebody you would ever want to cross. And this is just a cool shot of pulling back and Batman just watching him, like, yeah. Almost like Batman, he gets it. He feels, obviously, he doesn't, not someone, he doesn't look at him as he would, like, the Joker or the Penguin or the Riddler. You know, almost like this guy's lost, like I have too.
Well, that was good, man. That's been so long. That took me back. I was just, Yeah, I was engrossed. Like I said, I didn't have much to say because I was just sucked into that episode and the combination of listening to it, watching it, and hearing you guys talk. That was fun. I think we even had a couple people in the chat room, but I couldn't even look. We had Jake Juggalo and Christopher Dahlberg. Well, thanks for joining us. Yeah, I know I didn't have much to say, but I was re-experiencing it.
That's awesome. Well, what do you guys think from our first commentary, our first official one? You guys
pretty happy? I felt the same way as when we did our commentary together on Beyond Retro. Like, I look forward to checking out, because when you look at how many episodes you have with Batman and Spider-Man and Ninja Turtles, there's so many things for us to cover here.
Yeah. Joe, what do you think about it? I mean,
no, I enjoyed it, but now I think for like the next ones we do, I mean, especially when we do Batman or anything else, yeah, I'll make sure that I watch it so I can have more of a vivid memory as we talk. But no, I wanted to do something different. Definitely with that, I thought, hey, why not share me seeing it again in a way for the first time for the show? But I like that. I like doing commentary to watch an episode, you know, give thoughts on it, and of course learn stuff when there's things I don't know, because I know you and Nathan do, you know, you've done a lot more research and are more knowledgeable when, you know, people who wrote the stuff, the voice actors. Always love, you know, finding that stuff out too. So it was really fun. I liked it.
Well, we don't want to make it a full trivia track, because, you know, God knows there's plenty of people out there who do that kind of stuff, but we just want to just make it like three guys hanging out watching cartoons together. That's what we just want to emphasize, why these episodes are memorable and why they're worth talking about. And don't expect like long, like hour conversations or hour and a half. That's not what this podcast is about. It's just about doing the commentary and praising the hell out of it. Or, well, I'm sure we'll get to one we just tear apart.
And like you said, it's an extra one, because like Christopher Dahlberg was like, man, what you guys got against me? He was like, I'm currently in church and you're having the podcast now? Well, I mean, like I said, it's an extra one. It's one where, like you said, yeah, it's just focusing on commentary for a particular cartoon, you know, some, you know, action cartoon, but we still will be doing our other Beyond Retro tomorrow at the usual time. So this is just it's another thing too.
Yeah, it's a thing that Ty and I talked about when we were doing it. So apologies to anyone that ends up joining us live. We probably won't acknowledge the chat like we do with Beyond Retro, because we just wanted to sort of keep it with, we're going to watch the episode together and then that's it. So
yeah, it's not something that we really focus on, making sure, all right, we need a live audience to do this. We're posting this for fun, to enjoy the audio, not necessarily like watching us talk and what poster does Tyler have behind him this week kind of thing.
Plus, I'll be honest, I couldn't even see the chat because on my screen here, I was watching the cartoon, so I didn't even have up the screen for chat anyways. And plus, since this was something different where I was trying to listen to it also, if I would have had the chat on,
yeah,
that means I would have had our window up and I would have been hearing our podcast and Batman and you guys talking. My mind went, there's no way I could have heard all that.
Yeah, I might find a way in the future too to just record these like offline and then like upload them that way instead of doing them live, because I know the people in the chat are like, oh God, they usually acknowledge us. What's going on here?
Well, I think if they catch on, they'll understand that, you know, this is one where we don't usually, you know, acknowledge until probably just after the show to say, hey, thanks or whatever. But I think they could understand that would be too difficult to listen, give our commentary, and then acknowledge what's happening in the chat room. It would be pretty difficult. But no, we could still do it live. It's still fun live.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Well, I guess do you guys have an idea of what you want to do next week? You want to do another Batman? Do you want to do Spider-Man? Do you want to do Justice League? Do you want to do Turtles? Do you want to do,
let's do another Batman.
Okay. We'll do another Batman. Joe, you want to do the
Riddler? Let's do the one where he was in the maze, like you said, with the Riddler or whatever.
Hey, like, God, I love the episode. The Riddler's first appearance with, if you're so smart, why aren't you rich?
Okay, so that's, yeah.
Next week. Oh boy, I love this idea. Man, I am pumped.
Good. And as long as there's links, there's still links to this, Nathan, you'll be able to give me links for that episode. They have them all or what?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
And for those who maybe don't have this on DVD or Blu-ray, maybe you can even let, you know, people who are listening know where they could watch these, where to go to do that, where you linked me.
I think what I'll do, if at all possible when we do these, is I'll put a link in the description for the episode so you can follow along with this. With Batman right now, it's on Amazon Prime streaming, so if you have Prime on there, it is on there to watch. And then, you know, if you got your DVDs and whatnot. But
you linked me to what, Daily Motion, or where did you link me?
Yeah, that one was on Daily Motion. I'll probably put that link in the description. That way people can follow along that don't have Prime or the DVDs.
Okay.
All right. Well,
this was fun. I look forward to Riddler next week.
Yeah, that's gonna be badass. And I'm glad, yeah, that Joe's into this here, you know.
Yeah, it's fun. Like I said, I enjoyed that. I mean, especially re-experiencing it. But yeah, just to know that I can watch him again and give a little, maybe more in-depth commentary or something to be fun. Because yeah. I used to love it. It's just I haven't seen it since because I've never bought any of the DVDs or anything else. And so yeah, it's been a long time. I mean, it's what, 20 years or something? How long has it been since this has been on TV?
Yeah.
We're not too close for it being 30 years.
True.
Oh, wow, that long. Jesus. So I knew it's been a while. It's like, so, whew, yeah, I got to re-experience it. Definitely.
Yes. Yeah, so people just keep it in mind. We'll be doing Batman again next week. We'll do X-Men, Spider-Man from various series like Amazing Friends, the solo series, probably Spectacular Spider-Man, or even the, I don't really want to do the 90s series, but if that's something that one of those guys want to do that one, that we can do that too.
We can dig into some of the more like popular episodes.
So that's what the point is. We're focusing on all the good stuff. We really want to devote time to crap, you know, like lame ass Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon. Shove it up your ass.
What was the one that was on MTV? Wasn't there something that was on MTV of a Spider-Man series?
Yeah, that was like right after the first Tobey Maguire movie came out, and I wasn't into that one either.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think that much.
Yeah, sucked. But there's still out there to spend our time doing commentaries for. So we'll be back next week with the Riddler's first appearance in the Batman animated series, and then who knows where we'll jump off from that one. So if you enjoyed it, please let us know. It'll be available on Podbean, on YouTube. I'm sure it'll be available on iTunes at some point. As of right now, I think those will be their only outlets right now to get our content, as well as check out Beyond Retro and Fans of Power.
Yeah.
And also, you can let everybody know what we'll be talking about tomorrow on Beyond Retro.
Yes, if you're listening to Beyond Retro or enjoy it, tomorrow will be our first dabble into, God, man, I feel like this is getting a long time coming, the first Ninja Turtles film from 1990, directed by Steve Barron. We'll be blowing loads all over that movie, man, because it is... Next to the Batman 89 film, the greatest comic book movie that's ever been done. I don't give a damn what anyone else has to say. It's up there with Batman 89 as being the greats of the greats.
I'm looking forward to talking to it because that's a movie I used to know by heart. I wore out the VHS that I had. I think I used to watch it like every day. So wow. lots to talk about.
So that's right. What we'll be talking on the next Beyond Retro. And join us next week for more capes and commentaries.
Yeah. Number one's in the bag. We got about 300 more to do.
Yeah, there you go. All right, it was fun. So, yeah, see you guys next week.
Thanks for joining us.